ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Hello and welcome to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Frank LaRosa here along with Scott Marsh and special guest co-host tonight, Mike Woods, Director of Golf and head golf professional here at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Scott, what fun it is to be out on location for these shows, huh?
It is. It's fantastic. And we've got a challenge out here as well. Of course, we're out here at the awesome Hagen Oaks driving range. They've got the Top Tracer technology. And we have a challenge. We've got two of the driving bays set up where you can actually play the famed seventh hole at Pebble Beach. And closest to the pin's going to win a nice little gift card to the driving range, which always comes in handy. And I can tell you, I was shooting prior to the show, and it's kind of like Pebble Beach weather out here because the wind is in your face right now tonight.
That's the way it's supposed
to be. It's an extra club or two. So if you're coming out, make sure it's playing about 115 yards out there. So bring the right club forward. I got within 14 yards, Frank, but
all
I'm going to try to do better.
The bar is set. Anyway, the bar is set low, but the bar is set.
It's set very low.
You know, Mike Woods, welcome to the show. Mike, you know, people might ask, how can you play Pebble Beach at Hagen Oaks? What's that all about?
That's great. Well, first I have to say, Scott, your swing was looking smooth.
Thank you.
Ooh, lefty, you were looking good out
there.
I've been
working on it, and yeah. You know what? I'll take it, even if it's insincere. I'll still take it, Mike, and I'll appreciate it.
Well, it shows. It's
Thank
looking
you.
Really
I've been working
smooth.
Hard on my game. I honestly have.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that's really neat out here at the Hagen Oaks driving range is our Top Tracer product. So what is Top Tracer? Top Tracer are monitors on all 52 stations, TV monitors, and there's cameras out here, and we're tracking every shot that you hit. And so every time you hit a ball, it tells you exactly where it goes. And if you're kind of trying to picture what that's like, if you watch the PGA Tour, they're using Top Tracer. Top Tracer is a product that is owned by Topgolf, and so it's the same kind of technology that you see at Topgolf, and it's super fun. There's all these different games you can play, and of course one of the games is virtual golf, and virtual golf is playing your favorite course like Pebble Beach, and it's so much fun to play number seven.
You know, as I look around here at the driving range tonight, Mike, and I think about the first time I went to a driving range, it was a lot like Tin Cup. You know, you had separations between stalls that maybe you couldn't even decide whether you were in somebody else's spot. But there is so much going on out here tonight. There's a lot of people here, but you do a whole lot more than just bang balls out here.
Yeah, we do. You know, it's easy to forget, but one of the great things about living in the Sacramento area are these warm nights. And, you know, at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, in fact, the range is open until 2 a.m. in June, July, and August. And coming out here when it's 75, 80 degrees, hitting some balls with family and friends, it's a really healthy outdoor night activity to do. And as you said, there's so much more. We have our putting course, our nine-hole putting course that's free to use and really, really fun. We have our practice green if you want to work on your putting and your chipping. Of course, we have our food truck, and so we specialize in these gourmet hot dogs, like the bacon hot dog with caramelized onions. And so you can have a meal while you're here. And again, there's just so much more to do when you come out to the driving range at night.
Scott, next time we have to do a food tasting. I think that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned it's open until 2 o'clock. They have this beautiful island bar out here as well. You feel like you're out by the ocean. It's fantastic. And I know that is extremely popular as well. And that's the one thing, Mike, you guys are always adding out here. There's always a new wrinkle every year.
Yeah, we really try to. We view the Hagen Oaks property that's owned by the city of Sacramento as a community asset. And, you know, statistically, as we all know, 10 to 12% of the population plays golf. But what can we do to bring out the other 90%? And that's where the driving range really comes in. You don't have to be a golfer. Just come on out. We have clubs that we can rent to you for $2 a club. And you just rent golf balls. You don't need any other glove, shoes, any other equipment. You can just start whacking the ball and seeing if golf is for you. And at night, what's most common is groups of three or four coming out and sharing one station. So you hit a few shots, you tell a couple jokes, maybe a video or two, maybe a social media post or two, and it's a really fun activity at night.
It is a family atmosphere, as you say. And again, you mentioned the putting course as well. You've got a nine-hole putting course that was just totally redone in terms of the grass, or the artificial grass. And boy, I mean, it really looks nice over there. We're going to have to try that tonight as well. As a matter of fact, if you want to come out and try it, that's free as well.
Now, see, Frank's the ultimate professional because his Celtics are about ready to tip off for game 6 in an elimination game, and he is just focused.
I'm here. I am here. I'm ready.
But he does have his Pebble Beach gear on, of course, Mike.
How is that series standing right now? I kind of forgot.
I don't think I remember. It's going to be a tough game tonight, but I think Celtics tonight, I think we're going to a seventh game in San Francisco on Sunday. Is it Sunday?
It'll be Sunday at the Chase Center. How about Boston just in general? You talk about the epicenter of the sports world. You had the Red Sox playing today. We had that game on versus the A's earlier today. U.S. Open in Brookline, just 5 miles southwest of the heart of downtown Boston, and now you've got the NBA Finals. What a day in Beantown.
There is a lot going on, and luckily there's enough people to go to all of these activities, too.
Absolutely. How about that first round of the Open today, too? Fun to watch in such a historic course. Mike, maybe you knew all the stories and background of Brookline. I certainly didn't before this week, but you talk about one of the most historical, prestigious courses in America. I didn't realize Brookline might be number one.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, imagine being one of the first five courses to start the USGA. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? And that's quite an honor. And Brookline is a masterpiece. And the story I'm hearing right now is for the Open is just tough, long, rough, and tight in places, and very quick greens, and just tough, just the way the U.S. Open should be.
And the history that Scott was referring to is certainly Francis Ouimet, the 20-year-old amateur that was in a match with, I think they played 36 holes the final day at that point, but he was in a match with Ted Ray and Harry Vardon, British champions, and took them both down. That is a story that it lives on forever in terms of the culture.
It might be the single greatest story in golf in terms of just upsets with what he did. And Mike, I know that's kind of special because that's kind of part of the Hagen Oaks theme as well. You have the tournaments out here, the state fair tournament, and that's all amateurs. And you have such a big, important tie to amateur golf. And with Alistair McKenzie, we know the history back there with Bobby Jones and all of that. So I kind of feel there's a link.
Yeah, I would agree. The municipal golf courses around the country really play a role in amateur golf. It's really, really important. Now, Brookline, of course, is a private country club, but here at Hagen Oaks and Munis around the country, that's so true. In fact, this last weekend, we hosted the 101st Sacramento City Championship, which is a big amateur event. And, of course, the golf course here is only 90 years old, so the first 11 years were at Land Park. That was the only public course in town back then. And so, a young player who's an up-and-coming star by the name of Reese Sato won, shot 66-71. The amateur golf thing is really special, especially the young people coming up. We love to see them learn and grow as tournament golfers through amateur golf.
Well, you certainly have a big hand in that. Your Morton Golf Foundation does a lot to help those young people come along, certainly the ones that can't afford it. And when you look at municipal golf, that's, certainly the most inexpensive way to go, with programs like Youth on Golf and First Tee and things like that, and ways for juniors to get into the game.
Yeah, so true. You know, I hear all the time from people, I learned to play golf on the red nine.
Yeah.
You know,
the red nine
on Arcade Creek. And that makes me smile each time. And I don't mean just here at Hagen Oaks, all the public golf courses around town. That's where you cut your teeth for sure.
Yeah, but public golf is really so important. We have to think of a different name than Muni. Somehow Muni has got kind of a bad rap, and it really is the lifeblood of golf. you know, certainly a very small percentage belong to private clubs, and it's the municipal golf courses that feed the players of tomorrow.
Yeah, that's so true. And there are so many good players in the Sacramento area, the young players coming up, and they all cut their teeth on one of those public golf courses.
You know, if you had seen some of the promotion for this event tonight, you knew that Kevin Sutherland was going to be here. Kevin had an emergency that kept him from being here. He sends his regrets. But you talk about Kevin and David as two young players that did cut their teeth right here at Hagen Oaks, as did so many others.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. They really learned to play the game out here at Hagen Oaks and also at Ansel Hoffman. And both courses have a really special place in both of their hearts. They talk about it all the time. And as they got a little bit older in their teens and they really separated themselves as some of the better players in town, then you had some of the neighboring country clubs offering them access to play, like Northridge Country Club. And, of course, they're members now at Del Paso. And, yeah, it's really cool how golf kind of teams up to help the young person come up and succeed and how we're all in it together.
Absolutely. What did you think about about what happened at the Open today? Let's bring it back to today as opposed to the history that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it looked hard. It looked really, really hard. And I caught a little bit of the coverage. I'm looking forward to catching some more tonight. But typical for an Open, we saw train wrecks in the rough, didn't we? And players hit it in the rough and try to advance the ball, and it was tough.
Very interesting. And, you know, of course, Phil Mickelson's kind of taking so much oxygen in the golf world right now. He was +8 today, so certainly tough for him to recover. Rory McIlroy, who's playing as good as anybody in the world, 3 under, he's in second place right now. I found one thing that was fascinating, and I'd love your take, because you spend so much time making the greens so great out here. It's so fast, by the way, too. They were talking about the old courses, and the conversation was is that those courses used to run on the stimp meter like at 7 and 8, and now they have them jacked up to 12, 13, and 14, and that with these older courses, putting them under those conditions makes it obviously extremely difficult, because the course wasn't necessarily made for that initially, and it also puts a lot of stress on the greens themselves to be able to keep them in such great condition. I'm not sure I understood all of that. I'm hoping you do, though.
Yeah, you're right on the money with that, Scott. These courses that were built in the 20s and 30s, they absolutely were built for green speeds that are a little more like the fringe on your average golf course. And the slopes were unbelievable, the amount of slope. We have some drawings of the original greens here in 1932 on the McKenzie golf course. And when you look at the sketches, there's +6 feet and there's +8 feet. And, when you talk about that size of slope, it's for those kinds of speeds. And so in the case of Brookline, you know, Gil Hans has just recently been there to rebuild the course, rebuild the greens, and he's doing it with the mindset that these greens are going to run 11, 12, 13 all the time, so let's build them appropriate for that. And that's just so important in a design element now, because the designs back there, they had no chance. In fact, the course I think that really emulates that the most is Pasatiempo down in Santa Cruz. I was fortunate to play there a couple weeks ago, and it's still built for greens at about a speed of 6, except they're running at 10.
We have so much more to cover tonight, and we're going to take a short break for a couple of messages. We'll be back with more with Mike Woods from the Hagen Oaks Driving Range, powered by Top Tracer. It's the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
We are back here at the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sports 1140 KHTK. I'm Frank LaRosa. Scott Marsh is trying to beat the 4 yards right now. He was 14 yards in his first attempt. Now he's trying to beat the 4 yards, which is a gentleman named John has closest to the pin so far. You know, Mike, we were talking a little bit about the rough here at the U.S. Open today. When Scott and I were up for the media day at Edgewood, we played the second day at Lake Tahoe Golf Course. And Lake Tahoe Golf Course is, you know, it's pretty flat. There isn't a lot of trouble. There's some dog legs and things like that, but it seems to me that they use the rough to kind of protect par up there, because we had a miserable time in the rough. So that rough for us, you know, maybe approximates what these professionals are doing with much higher rough. How, you know, we tried to do the hero shots and hit it out of the rough. What's the best approach to that? What should we be doing?
Yeah, so, you know, we have to recognize, first of all, when we're watching golf on TV in a U.S. Open, we're watching world-class athletes. They're in the gym 7 days a week. They are literally pumping iron and trying to get bigger and stronger. So these cuts they're taking out of the rough that you're going to see this weekend, I mean, it is athletic, to say the least. Now, for the average golfer, and for like the 99.9% of the golfer, we don't have that in us, me included. And so what I typically recommend for golfers when they're playing on a golf course that's got really thick rough, first of all, hit the club off the tee that you're most comfortable with putting in the fairway. So if you put it in the fairway, you can really score on the next shot. But if you're out there at 172 yards in 4-inch rough, now you really got to take your medicine. And it's best to take maybe a sand wedge or a pitching wedge, play it back in your stance. For a right-handed golfer, that would be closer to your right toe. Lean that shaft forward a little bit, and you're really going to swing down on it and just try to rip it out of there. And you might get 50 yards, 60 yards, and just make sure you get it back in the fairway, because then the plan is to hit the next one on the green, see if you can make par or bogey at the worst. What I notice happens all the time, and it might have happened to you guys, is that, you know, there we are and we think, oh, I can hit a 6-iron out of there, and then we hit it like 10 feet.
Right.
And then we try the 7-iron and hit that 20 feet, and before we know it, we've taken a triple or a quad, and we're thinking to ourselves, boy, I should have just taken my medicine.
You know, the notion of, as you were saying, hitting a club that's going to put you in the fairway, I would say that most amateur golfers just want to step to the tee and hit it as far as they can. And, you know, take my medicine where it comes. I'm just going to hit it far, though, because that's going to impress people. But if you want to score, you know, the game takes a little bit of thought, and you kind of work backwards from the green. So to find, whether it's a driver or a three-wood or whatever it is, to get you in a position, excuse me, for that second shot.
Yeah, that's absolutely the way to go. Do you guys remember last year, Bryson? You know, everybody said at the U.S. Open, it's not going to work. You can't, you know, they use the word bomb and gouge, right? You can't. It's not going to work at a U.S. Open. And he made it work. He hit it down there 370 yards, and then out of that long grass with wedge was able to get it up near or on the green.
Well, and Bryson is kind of strong enough to make that happen.
Yeah.
Let's
have you seen his arms?
Right.
Yeah.
Even when he slimmed down this year, he still is. But
yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, no question there. By the way, 14 yards to 7 yards on my last effort.
Oh, that's, so you're getting closer.
So 4
winner.
Yards is still the closest, and we got to encourage everybody can come out here while we're out here, take a shot at the top tracer. We've got the 7th hole at Pebble Beach set up right here on base 24 and 25. If you're closest to the pin, you are going to win a gift card to the driving range out here at Hagen Oaks, and that is very valuable. Trust me, you'll enjoy that very much. So,
and once again, it's free, obviously. We're, you know,
free to participate, of course.
Absolutely. And you know, just come on out, grab your wedge or your 9-iron or whatever it is that's going to
I'm hitting 9-iron out there.
Are
it's
you?
An extra club. Yep. It's an extra
a little
club.
Wind in your face.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you know, for some others it might be a wedge, and obviously for Mike it's a utility club or 60-degree, but you know.
But he's a different kind of player.
He is. Now, you know, again, he is the perfect personification of somebody who maybe isn't large in stature but crushes the golf ball. You're Justin Thomas like at Hagen Oaks.
Absolutely.
Oh, I wish that was really the case, but I can hit it out there a little bit. You know, what's really fun about Top Tracer is, you know, some golfers tell me sometimes they come to the range and they get bored. They're just hitting the same club over and over and it gets kind of old. So if you're really looking at working on your game, that's the beauty of virtual golf on Top Tracer and watching the ball fly. You know, go actually play Pebble Beach. Hit driver off the first tee, then hit your 8-iron, then hit driver on 2 and actually play holes. I think you find it's more fun and probably help you score better out on the course.
No question. It just, you know, once you understand what some of the stats mean, they really can't help you, because once you start getting, you know, your launch angle and some of those other stats, it really will help your game and your index.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it's more real. It's like you said, it's 104 yards. Normally you'd hit a pitching wedge, but it's into the wind.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? That's what happens if you're playing on the course. So it's just far more real to do it that way.
You know, one of the statistics I keep coming back to, and you're probably tired of hearing it, Mike, but I just find it fascinating. 1932, this golf course opened, and Mike, you are the only the third head golf professional in you know, in all those years. That's remarkable. There are some golf courses that, you know, can go through three head pros in a year, but you talk about stability, and you talk about a sense of tradition, and you know, and kind of staying focused here at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. It's remarkable, really.
Well, I appreciate that. As you know, Frank, I've been so fortunate to be around my friend and mentor, Ken Morton Sr., and he's just given me all kinds of opportunities, and he's really coached and mentored me, and I'm a lucky guy, and I really feel that way. And my wife thinks I'm a little crazy. I get up every morning. I'm excited to go to work way too early, and it hasn't changed. In 33 years, it hasn't changed.
And Ken, certainly here, 64 years, so you've got a ways to go.
Yes,
you're
I
just
do.
A pup.
Yeah.
Was that my friend Kevin that just went by?
It sure was, Kevin Patton.
Yeah, we got to, you know, I may try and grab Kevin and get him down here to talk a little bit about, you know, about PGA Hope and things like that, because he's a remarkable human being and certainly a great representative of that particular program.
Yeah, he certainly is. I'm a big fan of Kevin Patton and the whole PGA Hope program. And Kevin is here at the golf course a lot, and we love it. We absolutely love it. We just watched him ride by on the single rider cart, and the cart really allows Kevin to play golf just the way we all play it. And, boy, does he enjoy it. He really, really enjoys the game.
Explain that a little bit more. You know, a single rider cart, this is a cart that actually lifts Kevin up so he can be supported in a standing position and hit a golf ball.
Yeah, that's correct. So Kevin doesn't have use from about the waist down, okay, and of his body. And he Kevin, of course, is a military veteran. And so when he gets himself into this vehicle, there's a couple things it does that are really special. Number one, you drive it everywhere on the course. You drive it in the bunkers. You drive it on the green. You drive it everywhere. It's got these big, wide tires, and it does less damage to the golf course than our feet do.
Wow.
And so it's really, really amazing how this unit works. But the second thing it does is with by a push of a button, it gets him from a seated position into a propped-up position where he's upright, and then he just goes ahead and puts his hands on his club and fires away and swings. And you should see Kevin hit a golf ball. Rips it. He hits it over 200 yards. It's just it's just fantastic to watch. And just like all golfers, he's super excited to the for the game, and he's here practicing right now because he wants to improve. It's beautiful.
Don't we all? Everybody wants to get better. That's the universal truth. You know, when you speak about you know, Kevin and the single rider card, it brings up the other programs that you have for, you know, the California Eagles, for, you know, for disabled folks. You have programs for juniors. You have programs for women. You have a women's mentor program. It just goes on and on, and certainly that is a precedent that Ken Morton said so many years ago, that growing the game was the only way the game was going to continue, and sharing the love that we all have for the game with all of these other groups.
Yeah, so true. As I mentioned, we view ourselves as a community asset, and we really need to be open and available to everyone. And so tonight, like most every Thursday night, we have 90 women here playing after work in our Women's Mentor League. And so what does that mean? These are women that are coming back to the game or new to the game. And we have a mentor, a seasoned lady golfer in each group going out with them to show them how to play and how to acclimate and what is the culture and what is this verbiage and where do you put the pin after you take it out? And where do you leave your golf cart? And how do you mark your ball? And it goes on and on and on, helping women feel comfortable at the golf game. And our goal is that they feel so comfortable they can just go play anywhere and enjoy the game. And join up with strangers and feel comfortable and have a great experience. And our women's golf ambassador, Linda Reed, runs the program and just does an amazing job. And you might imagine after they play tonight at the Bar and Grill, there'll be lots of social fun going on in there with the ladies sharing stories and enjoying each other's company.
When before we started tonight, Scott and I were watching a couple of them, the women, warm up tonight, and we were very appreciative of their swings and wishing that ours
jealous,
looked that
actually.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, Mike, for those who haven't been out here, because I know there's people in our audience who have not had a chance to get out to the driving range, just explain it, because when we talk about driving bays, I mean, there is a huge amount of bays out here, both on the front and back side.
Yeah, that's so true. So on the front side, we have 52 hitting bays, and the parking lot is just right next to it. And again, it's available for everybody and anybody. Just come on out. You don't even need to bring anything. We have clubs. And so just come on out. We'll show you how to do it. Our team here would love to show you how to do it for the first time. But on the side of the range, it gets kind of busy. In fact, mm-hmm. we're looking out here right now, and there's probably 30-some people hitting range balls.
Yep.
And so a number of people prefer to go to the back of our driving range. And you take the road, you drive in your car, and you go to the back of the driving range and park in the parking lot. And I would say there's maybe 12 people back there hitting yep. balls. And it's a little bit quieter, and there isn't as much hustle bustle. And so there's a whole crowd back there that's very loyal to that as well.
Yep.
And, again, you don't need a reservation. It's open to anybody. Just come on out.
Absolutely. It's a great place to hang out and work on your game. It's Golf to Go. We're live at the Hagen's Driving Range. Come on out and join us. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. And, again, we have the Pebble Beach Closest to the Pin contest going on. We'll get you an update on what the closest hit is when we return. It's Golf to Go right here. Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Yes. We are back at the Hagen Oaks Driving Range here at the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sports 1140 KHTK. You know, the great part about being here, Mike, is that, you sit here a couple of minutes and you see four or five people that you know. I mean, this is kind of the gathering spot for golfers here in Northern California, but we were doing an interview a little while ago, and I saw Kevin go by, and I thought, we got to get Kevin on the air. Kevin is just so good. Kevin Patton is a military veteran who was wounded and lost the use of his legs. And I'm going to let Kevin tell the story, but it revolves around PGA Hope, which is a program of the Northern California PGA, which helps veterans kind of reassimilate, and it's all done through the game of golf. You know, where this idea came from so many years ago, I have no idea. But, boy, I know, Kevin, you're kind of thankful that it happened, huh?
Oh, I'm totally grateful for it. It totally changed the outlook of my life and how things are going. I found it at a time when I was down, just getting out of the hospital for I don't know how many surgeries at that point. And someone said, you know, why don't you try getting back into golf and come out and check out PGA Hope, and what a change in my life it's made.
You know, it's been, I think you said, about 4 years since you got back into this program. And I remember meeting you probably not too long after that, maybe 3 years ago. And Mike said, yeah, oh, yeah, Kevin's out here a lot. He just wants to get better. And, you know, I thought that was kind of the universal truth about all of us. It doesn't matter whether we're a professional or whether you're in the one rider cart like you are, or you know, any of us in between those two elements. It's like getting better is really what we want. You know, you could shoot, the guys that shot 59, they're mad that they didn't shoot 58, right?
Exactly. And I'm just coming off playing a couple of tournaments back east in Georgia and Virginia, and playing Laurel Hill Golf Course for the U.S. Disabled Open Championship, and it was eye-opening for me, at least to say the least. So I'm back out here at the range trying to clean up some things for playing in a little charity tournament with Overwatch on Monday. So I'm out here trying to get a few strokes.
Hey, we all have to work on our game. We understand that.
Yeah.
We get that.
You've been a big proponent of PGA Hope, and you know the stories that that you tell, and certainly the other veterans, about what it has done to literally change your lives, and in some cases save lives. It's a program that means so much to you. Tell us a little bit about it.
With PGA Hope, it's helping other Patriots everywhere, and being here at Hagen Oaks. I think believe the last class they graduated, it's like 50 veterans out of that class, and every time that the class graduates, it keeps expanding, and they just try to open up a new course at Barton Cavanaugh, and looking at being Mahoney, because we're just getting so big. And what it does is a camaraderie build up with the guys out there, and just being out, a lot of the guys talking through things out on the course, and just gives them an opportunity to just be out and just getting off that couch, because so many guys get caught in their depression and being down, and just getting out and being about. And the game of golf is you're just out there challenging yourself and just having fun. So it's the greatest thing.
Mike, we were talking earlier about, you know, Hagen's involvement in trying to grow the game in so many ways. I mean, this has really got to warm your heart when you see Kevin out here, you know, trying to get better like the rest of us, huh?
Yeah, it sure does. We're just so proud to be associated with PGA Hope. It just feels so good. And Kevin's told me many times how valuable it is for him and for all the men and women that are out there. And yeah, it just feels great. And I've thought for a long time that something in golf that's universal is we all want to improve, you know, just hit that one shot better. And we all want to do it with people that we enjoy spending time with, whether it's family, it's friends, it's other veterans, it's other competitive golfers, whatever it may be. We want to spend social time with people that we enjoy hanging out with. And golf's pretty universal that way. And I think it makes golf really special.
So, Kevin, where's your next tournament? Where are you headed?
Well, my tournament season is over pretty much for right now. So I'm just doing a little local tournaments and playing around in the area. With PGA Hope, there's an event going on at the Spanos down in Stockton on the 29th. So I'll be playing in that. Just around the area, just trying to keep playing.
So PGA Hope goes through different sessions of introductions and classes. What are they, 8-week sessions, I think?
Yes.
And it happens a couple of times here at Hagen and a couple of times during the year. So I suppose, you know, with about 10, 12 locations in Northern California, probably the easiest way to find out whether you can get involved is to just dial up the Northern California PGA office in Vacaville and find out where the next program is.
Yeah, and we take the veteran at wherever they are, you know, whatever level they're at. This could be brand new, or maybe they played for a long time and haven't played for a while. Whatever level someone's at, it's time to get involved. We're ready. We've got such a nice support staff to help you get involved and to come out here and have some fun with some new friends.
Yeah, you talk about having fun. Kevin, every time I see you, I smile, and it's infectious because you're always smiling. And you know, your approach to life is what we all should have every day.
Thank you very much. I mean, it is about just moving forward. I think every day, as long as I'm moving forward, I'm living and seeing everyone get out there. And it's like Mike's talking about the guys that come out for the PGA Hope program, start anywhere. There's no pressure. You're just out there. Like, that's my first time really playing golf, was with PGA Hope. And then got involved with ping and clubs. And I'm buying clubs now. You know, I just went to ping. I just bought a new putter, yep. A new wedge.
I just got a new ping putter. I can relate to that.
So it's like, you know, it's just you keep loading the bag up. You know, so it's just
I love it.
It's great.
Absolutely. It's an addiction like anything else, right?
Yeah.
But when you're not golfing, let's be honest, you're weightlifting 24-7, right? Because those biceps are just out of control right there.
Everybody says that, but no, I haven't been lifting weights in a while.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Matter of fact, my daughter just signed me up for a new gym membership. So that's my Father's Day present. So.
All right.
And you know, this part about growing, Kevin and I talk about this all the time. One of the things Kevin's really working on right now is when he plays these tournaments that are 2 days in a row, to have the stamina for day two. That's part of that growing.
Sure.
Is play great on day one, then day two you start to get tired. And boy, we can all relate with that.
Absolutely.
You know? That's something we're working on.
Like I said, I just came off 8 straight days. So I did the practice round, 2-day tournament, got on the plane, flew to Virginia, practice round, then the 3-day tournament. So it was a bit much, but
impressive.
Yeah. So yeah, it was really
Kevin,
good.
Kevin Patton is the man. Kevin Patton, PGA Hope. Just Google it and see what you can find out and see whether you should be involved. You know, the great thing is you're going to meet people like Kevin. You're going to meet people that have stories similar to you, and it's all about some fun. So we are here at the Hagen Oaks Driving Range, powered by Top Tracer. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Frank LaRosa, Scott Marsh, Mike Woods, and Kevin Patton.
General Patton.
We will be back right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
What fun we are having here at the Top Tracer Driving Range at Hagen Oaks. Mike Woods is here with me. Mike, you know, I think many people will listen to a show like this because they expect to pick up tips about golf. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about trying to get out of the rough. What are some of the more common questions that you get when people are trying to get some help with their game?
Well, yeah, that's great, Frank. There's one question I get asked all the time, and you guys will giggle as I say it. What I get asked all the time is, boy, I hit it great on the range today, but I just couldn't take it to the golf course. Does that sound familiar?
I think
I was asking you that question yesterday, actually.
And so, you know, I find that the majority of golfers, like 99%, they really practice wrong. That's what I find consistently. It's pretty normal. In fact, we're sitting here on the range here right now, and we'll watch any given player right in front of us hit the same club over and over and over again. And we just never do that on the golf course. It just isn't golf.
Right.
And so what I'm a big proponent of is you warm up, you hit your 10 to 20 balls, whatever it takes to kind of get the body moving. And then whether you're going to play a golf course on Top Tracer or you're just going to play a course in your head at any range, it's much better and you're going to get much more out of it if you do more of a variable type practice. So it may be that I'm going to play the McKenzie course here at Hagen Oaks, and I like hitting driver off the first tee. So I get up, I go through my routine, I pick my target, I hit the shot. Now, if I pull it to the left, I'm going to be in the trees. So I put that driver away, I get my 4-iron out, and I got to hit a low hook. And I go through my routine, and I pick a target, and I hit the shot. And I will go ahead and play like the front nine of a golf course, or maybe even 18 holes of any golf course I can do in my head. And what you learn when you do that is you're not as good. That's what you learn is it's hard.
Yeah.
And you go home and you feel like, that wasn't my best practice session because I just didn't hit it as good as when I hit 7-iron, 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 7-iron. But it's the best way to get you from taking it to the driving range to being comfortable to do it on the golf course. And so I'm a big proponent of that game type of practicing, that random practicing for improvement.
That is a great tip. And as much as I've heard that, I will tell you that it's difficult for me to actually put into practice. I suppose it has more to do with how much time you have before you're going to play.
And Frank doesn't have a lot of time because by the time he brings the donuts out for everybody, there's not a lot of time left for the driving range.
Yeah, and so, you know, so you guys played out here yesterday, right?
Yes.
So if I was playing, I would have gone out and hit a few balls to warm up, and then I would have played holes 1, 2, and 3 on the driving range before I tee it up.
Great idea.
And what I would have done is build some confidence.
The McKenzie course built in. You can play that on the Top Tracer.
We don't have it yet in the Top Tracer, so I would just play it in my head.
Okay.
But what I would do is I would build some comfort and confidence because when I go over on the first tee and I'm getting ready to hit and Frank's, you know, he's over there razzing me and going, oh, boy, here we go. I've already hit the shot.
Yep.
And so there's some comfort in I've done this already.
Now, fortunately, the driving range here at Hagen Oaks mirrors hole one. And so if you're facing the same conditions.
Yeah.
But if let's say you're on the backside and you're downwind versus going upwind. What do you do in those scenarios where the driving range conditions aren't the same as the course conditions?
Yeah, it might feel a little different there. I would still probably play hole 1, 2, and 3, but I might just mirror some holes on the course that go that position or that direction. But the key is you really, when you're doing that, you're really practicing your routine. Routine is what's going to get you comfortable. The routine is what's going to allow you to take it from the driving range to the golf course. So you're practicing your routine, you're rehearsing. It's a rehearsal is what you're doing. And that's the secret to the practice that you want to practice and take out on the golf course.
Yeah, focus. It makes great sense. We do get comfortable with a 7-iron if you hit it that many times. I mean, it's true, you begin to develop a rhythm, but when you get out on the golf course, that rhythm is gone because you're only hitting one shot, right? And it's a, gee.
Well, and it might be a difference between coming out for a driving range between rounds and like what you're warming up before a round, because to your point, before a round, I think you want to do it a lot of different shots and maybe mentally get ready for holes, whereas if you're coming out between rounds of golf, maybe it is good from a repetition standpoint just to feel like, oh, I'm getting comfortable with my 7-iron and hitting it this way.
Yeah, and if you know, there's a gentleman out there named Dr. Bjork from UCLA. He's done great studies on how we learn. This isn't about golf, but just how we learn in general. And for me studying that, you can find YouTube videos all over the place on that. Here's how I practice. 20 balls to warm up. I play a course in my head. I maybe play the front nine. I walk over to the chipping green, and I throw down 6 balls and hit random shots from random lies to different holes. I go back and play the back nine. Then I go hit a few putts. Then I come back and play a few more holes. And then I hit 5 or 10 wedges, and then I go home. So that's a way to do it that's really going to benefit you to take it on the golf course. I play a lot of tournaments, and I'm just trying to get comfortable in a tournament setting on the golf course, and that really does it for me.
I remember many years ago you and I played in a media tournament, and you had me putting balls down in places that I never would have tried to even hit, but it became a really good process to try and figure out, you know, where we went from there. And those were shots we weren't going to hit. But if we're comfortable with those shots, we're comfortable with the easier shots on the course.
Yeah, absolutely. There's this thing called desire difficulty. And when you're practicing, you need to give yourself, you need to get a little out of the box, try shots you normally don't try, create that desire difficulty if you really want to go to the next level.
Yeah.
I think we need an update on where things are at. I can tell you during the last break, I have to tell you, Top Tracer is deadly accurate because I found the penalty area and it showed my ball going into the ocean, which was fantastic. But then my next shot was within 6 yards. So I've gotten to within 6, but I know we've got something better. Simone, who is with our station, and you've heard her, she does everything at KHDK, is out here helping us. Simone, what's the closest shot so far?
We have 3 yards out. They're
3 yards,
doing
9 feet.
A sudden
impressive
death matchup right now for the second and third place.
Excellent.
That's
okay.
Good.
Very cool. Very cool. I know you were swinging the club as well. How close did you get, Simone?
The closest I got was 14. 14
okay.
yards. Not terrible. I also
very
ended
respectable.
Up in
The penalty area?
Area, yes. Right into the ocean.
Understood.
Beautiful.
Understood. Yes, it is a gorgeous view, I have to admit.
We've got a winner. How close was our winner?
Three
yards. What's your name?
Nevin,
3 yards. Have you ever played Pebble Beach?
I have.
All right.
Let's put a headset on.
Yeah, grab that headset. Nevin, so you're out there on the driving range at Hagen Oaks playing Pebble Beach. What's that experience like?
It's excellent. Really like the Top Tracer. It really simulates hole 7. It's the next best thing you can get to actually being out there.
Yeah, Scott was telling us he hit one in the water, and Top Tracer showed him that. Well, we appreciate you coming out tonight. There's a $125 range card, courtesy of Mr. Woods and the staff here at Hagen Oaks. And what was your name, you second place?
John.
John, you were the 4 yards, right?
4 yards, and then we had a playoff, and then I got 2 yards.
He got 2 yards. All right, so $75 range card. Courtesy of Hagen Oaks, thanks very much for trying it out and being here tonight. We must be getting close to time here, Scott. What do you think, huh?
We've got just a couple minutes left, enough time to get Mike's take on the remainder of the U.S. Open and who he thinks might pull it out on Sunday.
Yeah, what do the next 3 days have in store, Mike?
Oh, boy, I'm such a Rory fan. I mean, I know that's easy to say, right? He's so on his game right now, but have you ever seen a more athletic move than Rory McIlroy? I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I think he's going to prove at that level you can bomb it and wedge it on the green out of 6-inch rough.
Now, explain, because this is another technical thing maybe you could help explain, but they were talking about how straight he keeps his forearm when he's hitting his wedges. How critical is that in terms of getting spin and just getting as close proximity to the hole that you want?
Yeah, you know, that has been his Achilles heel, right? It has been his wedge game. And he would, in the past, has been missing greens, not getting as close as he should be. But something has clicked, and it has to do, it sounds like, with his positioning with his arm and keeping that club head the same distance away from him throughout the swing. And he's found this new kind of rhythm with that. And it, I tell you what, it looks different. I would see him draw the wedge a lot. He's not doing that anymore. It's really just going up and down the pin. And, you know, if Rory can wedge the golf ball, I'm not sure anybody else has
over.
A chance.
Yeah, it's very exciting to see him up at the top of the leaderboard. It's such a crazy U.S. Open. Phil's in, Tiger's out. Phil is plus eight today.
Phil won't be in after tomorrow.
No, he won't be. And you know, some would say, you know, that's probably justice. But that's a whole other subject, the LIV Golf Tour, and we'll save that for another show.
Mike, do you want a Warriors-Celtics score?
Yeah. What's the score?
Yeah, you're not going to like it, I'll tell you that. Warriors are up, latest count, 39-31.
That's close enough.
Mid-second quarter. We're still plenty of time.
We're still good.
Yeah.
Mike Woods, thanks so much for being the perfect host here tonight. Again, since 1932, Hagen Oaks has been municipal golf in Sacramento from the very beginning. And, you know, if you're looking for lessons, if you're looking for fittings, if you're looking for programs for any group that you happen to be involved in, even tournaments, you know, you think about the notion that, well, I'm going to need 120 or 130 people to have a tournament. And that's probably a false notion. You could probably come out here and set up a tournament for 16 players, I'm guessing.
Oh, we're so flexible. I mean, that's what we do, is we work out a program that works great for the event of whatever size, 9 holes, 18 holes, catering afterwards. Maybe you want to do some putting. Maybe you want to do a little tournament of top tracer at the driving range. You name it, we're happy to do it, and we love creating events for everyone.
Yeah, I love that notion that people don't even have to have their own idea when they come out. I just want to have a party. What can you do to make it fun for me?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, that's what we do. I mean, we're the experts in that, and we want to just expose people to golf in maybe a way that they haven't before, and you never know. They may be like the three of us. They might get hooked.
Scott, I'm guessing that once we do sign off here, you'll be back out there trying to beat that 3 yards.
I just hope the bay is still set up over there so I can get within 3 yards. But I might be here until, 2 o'clock is when this place closes down?
Yeah. Yeah, so that will be an issue for you.
Yes, but I'm committed.
You know, coming out and doing the show remote like this is certainly a lot of fun, especially when you've got a big crowd like we have here on the range. And you know, you look up and down the range, you see the entire spectrum of not only golfers, but just people in general, ages, ethnicities, sexes. It's all happening right here at Hagen Oaks.
Yeah, it's all about coming out and having fun and enjoying yourself. Remember, golf is for everybody, and it's totally true at the Hagen Oaks Driving Range.
Golf is for everybody, and we hope you will be with us again next week when we come back. For Scott Marsh, for Mike Woods, I'm Frank LaRosa. Thanks
and much. Simone.
And Simone. I'm sorry, Simone. She was the best part of the whole show. Thanks very much for being with us. It's
Thank
the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sports 1140 KHDK. Back next week.